Welcome to Animation Damnation, loyal Patreon subscriber. I'm Andrew Jupin, alongside the whole gang, Christopher Cabin, Steven Zadek, Eric Siska. We're here to talk about Yo Joe. That's right, G.I. Joe. The episode in question, G.I. Joe and the Golden Fleece, original air date, October the 27th, 1986.
And I will say that this is the third episode of G.I. Joe we've done. We also did the one where G.I. Joe goes to space because of a nightclub goes crazy.
Yes.
And we also did Cold Slither, the rock and roll episode.
Oh, right.
Both of those, I think some of those might be on the upper tier there, the $8 tier. Just an FYI, I'm not upselling you.
I think it's on the $5 tier with the archive.
The archive, that's right.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's
so
what it is.
Check out the Google Drive we have on Patreon.com. Oh, wait, you're on Patreon.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you're at the three, maybe you want to go to the five, just possibly.
Oh, great.
Just
great call. Great call,
right,
yeah.
Right. So
by the way, quickly, yeah. Cold Slither slaps.
Oh,
that
totally.
Song rules so hard.
Absolutely.
Every episode we've done of this show, I'm like, well, this is the craziest, stupidest episode. That's it, G.I. Joe, you've done it. And then yet we find ourselves in ancient Greece.
Every episode is another bountiful basket of gifts. Maybe we should just do a G.I. Joe podcast.
But my whole thing is like, you know, is there just an episode? Because I never really watched this cartoon.
Yeah.
So, like, is there just an episode where they're on, like, a regular mission?
I mean,
no, but there are 25 where they're in nightclubs.
Whenever you go up against Cobra,
right,
it's an irregular mission.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Let's see if this works here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a great line to stop that. Yeah,
that's like a Danzig song.
It does sound like Danzig. Also, some of them are drawn like Danzig, I will say.
Slither, don't you let your daughter out.
I also love
mother.
It's the line is with a reptile hiss, but it sounds awfully like with an erectile hiss, doesn't it?
I thought it was erectile piss.
Mm. Oh my God.
And I'm like, that can't happen due to the vas deferens.
Oh, really? You could piss with a hard on a little bit?
Not when the vas deferens are closing that off, dude.
Oh, dude, I need to check.
So you don't get like you don't get pee into your fucking testes.
Sometimes when I leave the house, I'm like, oh, shit, did I leave the vas deferens on?
Oh, no.
There's
an app for that that helps you.
Oh,
you know,
good.
It's part of Apple Home, actually.
Yeah. Nest has a thing where you can control.
Alexa, close my vas deferens.
Gonna have to nest these balls.
Set it to 61%.
I noticed in the theme song for this movie this time around,
this
episode, pardon me, well, we did the movie, but the episode of this cartoon here,
did a movie.
They're talking about, like, we're the American, there's this narrator. It's like,
we're the Americans.
G.I. Joe's an American, blah, 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 blah. But then what they say, and I found this very interesting, the guy
American
says,
terrorist organization.
Defend human freedom.
Oh, shit. Eat shit, cows.
No, I'm just kind of shocked that it wasn't also defending America's
freedom.
Oh, no.
Well, I think it's like, this American militia, we define human as American. Anything else is an enemy combatant.
Well, it's this idea, though, that indeed the G.I. Joes themselves are America's world police.
I mean, they're Team America. I mean,
and you can also, you want to save human freedom, put that in quotes. It's like that allows you to go into any country in the world you want because, oh my God, these poor people are being. Right.
Every step you take is a liberator's.
Every move you make.
But I also
every
love.
Every breath you take.
G.I. Joe be watching you.
I was listening to the theme song, you know, watching this last night, and it does sort of, it starts off, G.I. Joe, and then the guy kind of is like, and we're going around, and we're going to do more, and I don't know.
The talk trails off.
And the airline lost my luggage, and then I went back the next day, and I talked to Connie at the front desk, and she said that I had to come back the next day with three forms of ID, and then the American hero showed up.
G.I. Joe!
Yeah, exactly. So this time around, Cobra, it turns out, is looking to finally take the Suez Canal.
Hell yeah.
And one of these fucking idiots...
I'm sick of not having that canal! Sick of the trade routes!
And one of these guys, I don't know which Joe it is, mentions that, hey, if Cobra takes the Suez Canal, we might as well just put a big red X over the Middle East.
Give it like a couple decades. We'll do that anyway.
Dude, like literally give you 14 years, brother man.
Yeah, just hold your breath there, Joe. You'll be totally cool with that soon enough.
By the way, that's Beachhead of this lineage of stupid Beachhead. Names.
Beachhead sounds exactly like Peyton Manning.
G.I. Joe recruited me.
Well, Papa John asked me to come here, and I decided to do it. I mean,
the first Joe you kiss cannot be Papa John.
I will say, first of all, Papa John would be a G.I. Joe.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. He'd throw pizzas at people.
Watch out, pizza man!
He runs the commissary.
Oh, yeah, he does.
But, like, so we're all G.I. Joes, right? We're all hanging out. We all have our jobs.
Yep.
And, like, Snake Eyes has his own thing. He's probably horribly scarred. It's fine. We understand what Snake Eyes' deal.
He's got his issues.
Beachhead just shows up with a fucking ski mask, and everyone's like, what is that guy's deal?
And
like,
nobody's asking questions.
Exactly. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a bit weird, Beachhead, you know? Like, if I just started wearing a ski mask every time we recorded, you'd be like, well, what's Steve's problem?
Well, if it was a thing where you're wearing a fucking ski mask and you were like Slopes Master, you'd be like, okay, but what are you doing wearing that on the beach? What are you, the fucking Zodiac?
I don't want to appear on camera.
G.I. Joe should get the Zodiac. That would help their fight against the fucking
it'd
Cobra.
It'd be amazing.
Come on, Zodi, we got to go save the Suez Canal.
He's got that fucking hood on with the fucking, what was it, like that weird like Target symbol.
Yes.
And he's running up the beach with a fucking knife and some duct tape. He's tying up some Cobra goo and stabbing him in the
Zodiac leg. Stop pointing that sniper rifle at that school bus. We got to save the Suez Canal.
Destro, do you see how he spells words wrong for some reason?
But if he could be turned, he would be a powerful ally.
Oh, no. Destro, I've wasted my life trying to find out who the Zodiac was. My wife has left me. Chloe Sevigny has left me. Oh, no. Destro, listen to this. There I am at the house of a man who collects movie memorabilia. And there I am in his base. And things got really weird, and I thought, all right, Cobra, two things are going to happen here. One, he's going to kill you. Or two, even worse, he's going to try to make out with me. And I hightailed it.
They're all wearing buns that says, I'm not Cobra.
So other people in this episode, we finally get Sergeant Slaughter in this episode.
Fucking finally. What a warm welcome I gave Sergeant Slaughter
dude,
when he came on my screen.
You can tell this dude is voiced by a professional wrestler.
Of course it is. You can barely read the lines.
Like, yeah, that's right, Sergeant Slaughter. They are a lot.
Now, Sarge, when the red light starts blinking, that's when you start talking.
I think he's talking to you.
That's why it's like it's supposed to be like Sergeant Payne, and then like they're like, we just have to call him Sergeant Slaughter. It's the only fucking thing he knows. We just got to do it. I think that was Tony Danza's problem too.
Probably,
You got Lady J in this.
Lady J, which I think is also her first appearance on Animation.
I believe so.
And also, Lift Ticket.
Dude, what the fuck is Lift Ticket's problem?
He's a. I mean, I don't know what his problem is, but he's a dude who clearly loves to ski so much that he's the asshole that leaves the fucking pass on the jacket long after ski season.
My first guess would be a lot.
I mean, well, everybody knows Greece is famous for skiing.
Yes.
Ancient Greece, of course, where skiing was born.
We get a Dr. Mastermind. What's it?
Mindbender.
Dr. Mindbender.
Who's from the film as well. Yeah. By the way, I mean, Greece, 1986, I bet people were skiing a lot of, you know.
Oh, well, that's, you know what I mean? Yes. I mean,
dude, is that why he's Lift Ticket? Yeah. He's the fucking dealer?
Oh, yep. Definitely, yep. Man.
I got your Lift Ticket right here. Yeah, man, you want to hit the slopes, you got to punch my Lift Ticket.
Oh, shit, dude, you got to jerk him off.
Pay for play. He's like, hey, man, where did you get that Coke from? Wasn't Lift Ticket, was it? Yeah. You didn't have to. Yeah. Party down.
I checked off Lift Ticket. It's me, Sergeant Slaughter.
That's the crazy thing about Sergeant Slaughter is like he'll start a sentence, he'll say like two or three words, and then if you're like dictating it, it's like two or three words, comma, I'm Sergeant Slaughter, comma, again.
It was his catchphrase. I was reading about Sergeant Slaughter a little bit on the way up here.
Oh!
The best.
That was you?
you got a Google alert when someone accessed Sergeant Slaughter.
Honey, someone used my Wikipedia page.
No, the funniest thing, which I
Robert Remus, by the way, still alive.
Totally forgot.
Weird.
This is the early 90s. So like he was like he kind of rivaled Hogan for a while in popularity. He was like what you call a face in the biz.
He would be better. It would be better world if Sergeant Slaughter took over more than Hulkamania.
But Hulkamania was so strong, and I think he had a problem with falling out with Vince McMahon over money. He like left WWF and then he came back. And Vince McMahon's like, okay, cool, Sergeant Slaughter. You want to come back? Definitely. Your new character, you could still be Sergeant Slaughter. Your new character is Iraqi sympathizer during the first Gulf War.
Oh, great.
What?
And like he was like, yeah, Saddam Hussein is awesome. Like he had to do all this shit.
He did it?
Yeah, like he did it. He did it for at WrestleMania. His whole thing was, and I remember this as a kid, it came flooding back. The Iraqi sympathizer Sergeant Slaughter angle is fucking incredible. And wow. Like he was totally uncomfortable the entire time.
Who the hell? I couldn't believe, you know, I would never imagine that Sergeant Slaughter would end up being correct on U.S. foreign policy.
We got to get out of there.
Exactly. Yeah. Because like, honestly, listen, don't at me, but if Saddam Hussein was in power now, I know he did bad stuff,
sure.
But we all do bad stuff.
Listen here, kids at home. Don't listen to Vince McMahon right here. We had no business being there.
Well, no, his thing was, I was reading about it, was his angle wasn't like the Iraqi policy was right. He's like, they're so cruel, and I love cruelty like that.
Oh, that's like doubly wrong.
It's like that's the problem, is you'd want it to be like, oh, there's no reason we shouldn't be in Iraq at all. Let those people know. It's like, yeah, blood and bones.
Was the Iron Sheik around at this time?
He was.
So this was like an additional villain.
Yeah, exactly. And but it was just really just a fun. It's like the ultimate power move. Like, oh yeah, you love America, huh? You want $200,000? Say you love Iraq, you son of a bitch, and crawl for it.
Dude, Vince McMahon is a piece of shit.
Seriously.
So was it just Saddam, or was like he talking to Pinochet and Ceausescu too? He's just like all of the worst people in the world.
You know, I could be like, I think I would be a professional wrestler that supports Kim Jong-un.
Sure.
If anyone wants to call me up. I could do at least one round.
If you get his haircut.
Mm-hmm. I'll get his haircut for $200,000. Don't worry
about it. Absolutely. Sergeant Slaughter's finishing move I always thought was lame.
The Cobra Clutch?
What is that?
The fucking... Is that what he called it when he did the clothesline off the top rope?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Maybe that wasn't his finisher, but that was a move he definitely did.
Okay.
He didn't freeze anyone or like rip their head off, their spinal column come out?
No, you're once again confusing professional wrestling with Mortal Kombat.
Oh, fuck.
So, sure enough, we're running around Greece... a spaceship, an honest-to-goodness spaceship stop, mm-hmm. And it doesn't stop the Joe's dead. And the Cobra's like, well, that's interesting. And, like, a cone falls from the sky.
But they both think it's, like, other technology.
They think it's the other side's new technology.
Look at Cobra's new ship. And then the Cobra's is like, it must be a Joe vehicle.
And it's fucking awesome. There's a great exchange here. Yeah. Where one, I don't know if it's fucking wetsuits in this movie, this episode. It's
so's Lifeline.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not Lifeline. It might be Lift Ticket. One of them is like,
is it horse jockey who works with Lift Ticket?
He's a little weird short guy.
Oh yeah, I get you.
You want some skag?
I got the dank shit, man.
Don't go over to Lift Ticket.
Hey, guess what? Come over here. I got a little drill inside the ladies' locker room. You want to see Lady J change?
Like, no, dude, I don't.
Yeah, no, I was lying.
Yeah, thanks, horse jockey. I'm so glad we had this exchange.
That's one of the first ones for free.
Hey, you want? I stole some of their underwear. You want it?
Oh, my God.
I could buy it. You could buy it from me.
No, I don't want to do that either, horse jockey.
Come on, man. I just kind of hang out for a couple of hours. I just need somebody to watch me sleep, because if I fucking fall over and I throw up in my mouth, I might die. I need somebody to watch me sleep.
How is horse jockey on the team?
Hawk, why is he here? Well, he keeps the morale of the rest of the crew up.
Everybody looks at horse jockey and goes, well, at least I'm not horse jockey.
Look, or at least... Oh, horse jockey's got two strikes. We're waiting for the third. No one's going to press charges against horse jockey.
No, but the thing is, so one of them is like, oh, this must be a new Cobra thing.
Yeah.
We got to blow it out of the sky right away. And I think it's Hawk himself is like, no. G.I. Joe does not shoot first and ask questions later. I was like, yeah, fucking right, buddy.
But then the Cobra's like, let's blow it out of the sky. It's a Joe thing. Like, yes, that's a great idea. So that's what they try to do. They shoot it. This thing falls out. And everyone like kind of is like, whoa, what happened?
They're calling it a coil or something.
It's a weird, it looks like a conch.
Yeah. It does look like a conch shell. Yeah.
And like, everything changes, and we're just in ancient Greece, and it's like, what the... And also, Sergeant Slaughter doing a lot of heavy lifting in this episode. It's like, I did 3 months in community college learning ancient Greek, so I know a little ancient Greek.
It's fucking crazy, because he like he just starts fucking understanding shit, and people are like, what?
One like, lift ticket, or one of them is like, what, Sergeant Slaughter? You understand ancient Greek? And Sergeant Slaughter gets so indignant. He does say something about like, yeah, I studied it in college, blah, blah, blah. And then one of them's like, what college? And he goes, you find it hard to believe that I attended college, like, or something. Listen, like that.
Just because I'm an Iraqi sympathizer doesn't mean I don't know things.
When this whole thing is happening, by the way, there's this terrible effect on the screen and they're all getting like wonky, this time travel. One of them, possibly lift ticket, is like, I haven't felt like this since that night in Hong Kong.
Oh, dude, yeah. That's some Thai stick shit, man.
Totally. You ever see Broke Down Palace? It was like that, but with G.I. Joes.
That was the third member of the team with lift ticket and horse jockeys, Spliff.
Spliff didn't make it out of Hong Kong. He's doing life and will probably be executed.
You gotta come and get me, Hawk. You gotta come and get me.
So they aren't too concerned about the fact that they traveled through time.
Not a huge deal. They weren't too concerned about that spaceship. They're definitely not concerned about being in ancient Greece. Sergeant Slaughter is calling the shots a little bit. He's like, oh, whoa, they think I'm Hercules. They think you're this Greek god. Right, they think you're whatever. And it's like, oh, okay.
Sure, we're doing this for 22 minutes. We got another fucking 12 to go here, G.I. Joe.
Exactly. Well, the best thing is the G.I. Joe will return, which is such a thing of like, we got 22 minutes to fill. That'll take about 41 seconds of animation.
Hey, Dave, could you say G.I. Joe will return after these messages just a little slower? Thank you.
We lost a page. One of the pages got lost along the way in Korea, so we got to find just 12 more seconds to just... There you go. That's it, Dave.
So, Dave, we know that you like to just like talk about the real American heroes and the up top thing. Do you want to go through your grocery list and like things that you wish you had done with your life but never got around to?
G.I. Joe has to pick up celery stalks, cumin, ripe tomatoes,
watermelon, seedless.
By the way, Cobra also shows up and like topples Sparta or something.
Also kind of strange.
So ridiculous.
Dr. Mindbender's outfit is really something.
Yeah,
oh my God, he's
dude.
So different from the movie. So much better. He's completely cue bald and he's got this humongous wild mustache and this fucking Dracula cape with like no shirt on.
Dude, he looks like he works at a place that's called Pleasure Palace. And I don't know specifically what they do there. I just know that it's called Pleasure Palace and Dr. Mindbender works there.
He's trying to sell you a third spreader bar.
And he's got like David Bowie eyeballs. Anyone notice one's brown, one's blue?
Yeah, totally.
That's a detail.
I did not notice that.
Lady J's flying some sort of plane or some shit. She crashes at a different part of the island.
And the Baroness is after her, et cetera, et cetera. There's one part where I think Sergeant Slaughter gets separated from the group. And this guy's like, well, I'll help you if you can clean my barn in 24 in one
so
day.
Awesome.
This is he's a king.
Yes.
And the bargain is something fucking nuts.
Oh, dude, it's great. I know exactly what it is.
Oh, yeah? Go ahead.
You can clean my barn in one day and we'll help you out.
We'll tell you where your friends are.
And if you don't do it, you have to be my slave for 8 years.
Eight years of slavery.
Which apparently this is another story from Greek mythology. And Sergeant Slaughter, once again, recognizes the tale and he's like, say, I'm in a Greek fable right now. Whatever. Also, when he gets lost, it's because the Joes are like on this, they've crafted like a little raft or whatever.
Sure.
And Sergeant
Helicopter.
Right.
A helicopter raft.
Sergeant Slaughter falls off the back of it. And one of them goes like, oh no, we lost the Sarge. And then another one is like, well, we can't turn back now. It's too late. It's like, yep, Sergeant Slaughter presumed dead.
I think this was right after also like the Baroness and Cobra like did like a quick shot at them.
Yeah.
And for a second, Sergeant Slaughter was like, it's an ancient herpy from Legend of Yore.
Yes.
And no, no, it's just Baroness.
Oh, also hilarious is when, like, I guess one of these little Greek kids, like, skins his knee, yeah. And Lifeline, who is the medic of G.I. Joe,
yeah.
Comes over and, like, bandages his knee or whatever, and they think he's a god because he's got healing powers.
And one of the Joes, I think it might be Beachhead, is like, well, we have to be sure not to mess with the timeline too much. I'm like, dude, you're shooting lasers in front of these people.
Yep.
The history has changed.
They mentioned to Beachhead a few times, I think, about how they're in a different time and, like, if they do shit, it could influence the future. And he's just like, what?
Yes. Hey, man, Beachhead, you know, remember a couple years ago when we kept trying to get you to come out to the movies with us to see Back to the Future? Here's why, man. You're just not getting it, Beachhead.
What?
I'm sorry, I was just hanging out with Lift Ticket.
Yeah, man, we're just kind of chilling out here.
So the fucking dickhead move that Sergeant Slaughter does to win this contest, he's like, clean your barn, got it. He fucking takes like a pickaxe and goes over to this rock wall and bangs the shit out of this, and all this water just washes this dude's farm away.
He fucking dams a river and drowns this city, basically. Yes.
Like all these horses are dead. Yeah. You know what I mean? All those pigs are dead.
Yeah, technically, it's clean.
He says something about like, you didn't tell me how to clean it or whatever. Yeah.
Like, well, I guess we'll help you now, Sergeant Slaughter Hercules.
Also, my family is dead, Hercules. Thank you.
Oh, and one of them was going to be the new emperor. So I guess history has changed forever.
Yes, exactly. But I think it's also like, let's help this demon so he gets away from us.
That's a good move.
Well, I have no crops now, which means we actually starve. It's not like there's a grocery store.
There's this other part where Dr. Mindbender and Baroness are like, oh, they're shooting, the Greeks are shooting firebombs at us. That means they have some sort of kerosene that we could use to fuel our lasers. And they just show all this like goop going inside these guns.
I know, it makes little to no sense.
I love it. So they're going to go to Lady J. And there's a great continuity error here. I love it so fucking much. It's like Beachhead, Lifeline, and Lift Ticket, and maybe another guy are the ones going to get Lady J. And Sergeant Slaughter is rushing from the other side with this new Greek army.
Right.
And then they Beachhead and all those guys get there first. And then Cobra's there, and they're getting overwhelmed. There's one or two shots of Sergeant Slaughter fighting alongside them.
Yep.
And then they look over to the right like, oh my God, it's the Sarge. Oh, thank goodness we're saved. And I'm like, dude, it's just, come on.
That's so awesome.
You got to remove that page from the animators, guys. Yep.
Oh, that's great. So then we're having just a big old G.I. Joe Cobra fight right here. Sure. And then Lady J, who gets like this, she steals Baroness's laser and she's like, yeah, this ought to do the trick. And she just fucking shoots this thing again.
Yep, like, sure. You have no idea that that would work.
Not even.
And also, like, how do you
not
know you're going to go to the year 2545 or the year like 1941?
Well, thankfully, it's like minute 20 of the 22-minute episode, so we're going right home, which they do. And then this is, I mean, who was on what writing this G.I. Joe script?
But first of all, they leave, and like they're like, oh, history's the same. I'm like, first of all, no.
Yeah.
I don't know. They had so many tanks with them. I'm not sure if all the tanks made it. Yeah. I don't know if all the tanks made it.
They see that shit. Nah, democracy never got invented.
That's right.
Sorry, guys.
Sweet.
Now Saddam Hussein runs the planet.
Yeah, we
finally!
Make sure we don't have any metal birds, so let's just scrap everything.
Get somebody with some brains in charge. Sergeant Slaughter. All right, Vince McMahon, I love Saddam Hussein.
Vince McMahon's disemboweled in this future.
And so, yeah, they all get back and whatever else. And then the aliens come back, and they're just like, they can the G.I. Joes can hear the aliens conversation
it's
in
so
their head.
Convenient because it's just like we're hearing the aliens talk to each other. They sound like fucking dudes eating beef. And then it's like one of them, I don't know, I forget which one, is like, we're hearing a telepathic communication.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And it's just this one alien like, see, Jeff, when you drop the coil from your hyperdrive unit, you have to pull over and pick it up again.
It was just vapor lock.
And it's so insane. They're like, the other alien is like, but now these scrawny beings know that we exist. And the guy is just like, yes, and now we will forever be a part of their history book or some
shit.
Well,
I think that's because it's echoing something like, well, I guess we'll always be part of the Greek history book.
Right,
now,
right, right,
blah,
right.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. And well, then, no, it's some. That's the last line of the thing is like, I think it's Lady J is like, I wonder what those Greeks are saying about us right now or said about us or whatever. And then one at Lift Ticket or somebody's like, just go look in any history book.
Yeah.
What are you talking
about? Well, because I think what he's getting at is Hercules never existed. And this is like a time paradox where Sergeant Slaughter was always Hercules.
Right. What has happened? Time is all of time has already happened. Right?
Yes,
time is a
exactly.
flat circle
right.
is what G.I. Joe is telling us.
Yep.
Yeah.
110%. But
they've just tainted a generation for history because the bunch of kids went to history books, looked for G.I. Joe, found jack shit.
No,
and then
but
we said,
like,
fuck this.
Oh, you're talking about IRL.
Yeah. They're watching the cartoon and they're saying, go find us in history.
But if they turns out it's not the more you know.
No.
If they use their noodle, they would realize that Hercules was just an anagram for slaughter.
Yes. Okay.
Of course.
It makes sense.
That checks out.
There's no, and the episode ends, there's no. The more you know, a little
nothing.
After. No, because apparently, because this is the less you know, this episode.
This whole episode was about learning.
You wish it was like Sergeant Slaughter teaching the other side of the Iran-Contra affair. You know, something.
Yeah. I'm,
you see, kids, this is why we needed to secretly sell those guns. So listen up.
First G.I. Joe episode that's 3 hours long.
But I do think this episode, speaking of educational, because there was some, looking at the credits, like educational consultant, this and that. I do think...
What a crock of shit.
Speaking of Simpsons jokes, I think somebody was like, that show's barely legal as it is. And someone was like, look, you need to squeeze some history. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to say the word Hercules, ancient Greek. I need like... three facts, and you could do whatever you want with lasers and the rest.
Well,
you could sell all the other toys you need.
What was the title of this episode again?
G.I. Joe and the Golden Fleece.
No Golden Fleece in this at all.
Yeah,
didn't
that's really
Hercules
the point.
Like have a Golden
yes.
Fleece?
Yes.
But at some points, I think they're calling this fucking coil the Golden Fleece.
Because they're stupid.
No, because
they're stupid people.
Hey, Sergeant Slaughter went to college, dude.
Community college, 3 months. Fuck him.
Dude, what's so great is that Sergeant...
By the way, I would do it... Just an FYI, Sergeant Slaughter, having to attend court mandated AA meetings on a college campus does not mean you've gone to a college.
But he knows ancient Greek, so that means he's got stuff in common with Marcus Brody, which is awesome. I want sure. that buddy comedy.
Yeah, I am addicted to pills, but I thought this was economics 101. Well, I'm here now.
Was anybody embarrassed watching this?
Not at all. I always find G.I. Joe a ridiculous delight because I did miss it growing up. I didn't grow up with it,
right.
Which I've said every time we talked about it. But I'm always like, what? This is happening? What? I find it totally blissfully incomprehensible. And it's just like being on a weird rapids ride. And you're like, when am I going to get splashed? And you keep getting splashed.
I wasn't embarrassed until I found out Sergeant Slaughter knows more Greek than I do. But
the more you know, Cabin.
Now I know. It was fine. I didn't feel too embarrassed.
What Greek do you know? Baklava?
That's about it.
Moussaki?
I think this episode is a goddamn hoot. It was a fun time. I mean, I also didn't really grow up with it. I saw like little bits here and there. I had an older brother, but...
Right.
I don't know. It's a fun time. I've got no issue.
No regrets here either. Although I will say one thing that I regret is the fucking price gouging on Amazon.
Oh,
my
dude.
God.
Yeah,
so I went and looked at this, rent this shit for HD $299.
Well, dude, we own it now.
Yes.
But I will also say this. They have it broken up into like volumes, you know?
Right. This is in volume 7 if anyone wanted to watch it.
And did you see if you're like a G.I. Joe fan and you're like, oh boy, I can have volume 7 on Amazon right now.
Right.
$50.
Holy mackerel.
That's insane. Well,
$50 for these poorly drawn cartoons.
Well, because I guess there's probably 30 episodes in it or something, 20 something.
But some of the earlier volumes are totally cheaper.
Oh, really?
It was like 50 and change.
Well, do you still get to see fucking Joe's dick or what? What's happening?
I think it's like, well, if you're still watching this, I bet you fucking pay through the nose. you're dumb enough to pay seasons 1 through 3 or whatever.
That is Animation Damnation for the month of June. Thank you so much for continuing to subscribe to our Patreon endeavor. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.